Good evening, everyone. The topic I was given, if I understood it correctly, was how do we as Bible-believing Christians reach someone who is maybe a Christian but is confused on the issue of gay marriage or has homosexual tendencies, or someone who doesn't have those tendencies but thinks it's okay. And I think Dan is going to follow me with a little different angle. Hopefully I don't take from what he has to share. But it was so good tonight to come and hear the devotions that Mark had about being salt and light, and also the verse that was just shared in children's class about serving in love. And those two themes really became impressed on me when I was studying this, that a true Christian response is with salt, as salt and light. It's modeling the right way. It's sharing the truth with compassion. And if we can't share the truth with compassion to someone who's searching and wants to know these answers about sin, about anything, we don't have a relationship with them. If we don't show love, if our lives don't model it, our words aren't going to have a whole lot of emphasis, a lot of weight. Tonight I'm going to kind of bounce around a little bit here, using a few points from a book by Sean McDowell called Apologetics for a New Generation. And one of the points that he makes and was very clear to me is homosexuality or gay marriage or lying or envy or any of these sins of the flesh, they're just that, they're sins. And it's a real topic to me. It has struck home in my life. There is someone in my extended family who's a vibrant Christian living victoriously today that has fallen in this area and has these struggles, these temptations. And I think that we're amiss to think that I, me, you can never have any of these sinful temptations. My guess is every single one of us in here has blind spots, areas that we're weak in, and we need each other for strength. And everything that I found in my study leads me to believe that this tendency, as well as other sins, is a result of sin. It's a result of the fall. The farther we get from perfection, the more problems, the more sin, the more cloudy the truth gets. And it was just impressed upon me how important it is that we hold fast to the truth, the Bible. And if we don't have that as our foundation, boy, you're not going to end up anywhere close. Anyway, I'd like to ask a couple questions. How do we treat people with homosexual tendencies? How do we treat, I should say Christians or people with these tendencies? Well, how do we treat them with any other sinful tendency? You have somebody who is prone to lying, prone to not loving their wife. All of these are sins, and they are lumped together as separating us from God. And I think the response should be the same to any of these sins. Tell them the truth with compassion. And as Christians, if we're not ready to give an answer to another Christian who's searching or someone with a Bible background, if we're not ready to give them a well-thought-out biblical answer, it's going to be hard to convince them. Also, if we're not modeling what the Bible says to model. I want to read 1 Peter 3:15, and you could turn there if you'd like. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Doesn't say with pride and self-righteousness. Meekness and fear. And I think a good way to approach someone in any sin, but especially this one, is to share with them pertinent passages from the Bible. And oftentimes I think that maybe we're looking at this as from the perspective of a Christian who's struggling with this tendency, or maybe a Christian from a denomination that teaches it's okay, but they're legitimately searching. One of the passages that can share truth with them from the Bible is Romans 1. And I'll ask you to turn to that. I'm going to read quite a few verses from Romans 1. I'm going to start in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. One of the things that really stuck out to me in this passage is it mentions a whole list of things, and by and large, at least myself, I look at a lot of these other things as being lesser evils, but they're not. They're all sin. They're all have the capability of separating me from God if I'm living in them. And we can share this passage with someone. Maybe they've never read it in an accurate version. Maybe they've never read it for themselves. Maybe they've been told bits and pieces of these passages, and there's five or six others in the Bible, several of them New Testament as well, but some Old Testament. And you'd be amazed at how much human reasoning goes into these arguments that they've heard to justify their position. One thing that I've just found to be true when I'm speaking with someone who is a weak Christian or unbeliever is to fight my natural tendency to kind of plaster them with Bible verses. It is truth, and they need to know that, but if I'm not compassionate and loving in the way I do it, it goes right over their heads. And this kind of brings me back to the truth being made clear to a person through your relationship with them. If I don't have a relationship with somebody, any of you in here, and every time you see me, I'm quoting all these Bible verses about everything you need to change in your life, how much weight would that have? I mean, it wouldn't be showing love, no compassion. All you'd think is that Lowell's out to get you. And if I don't, in my day-to-day life, the people that I rub shoulders with, and there are a lot of people out there who go to church who call themselves Christians, who have this unbiblical view of this topic. And, but if I don't, if I'm, especially if I'm in their circle every day, and if I don't put myself out there in small ways, make myself available, if I don't ask them if they need help, say they need to go move furniture, maybe they have a flat tire, just love their soul. One thing that I've found that is so helpful in this area is to pray that God would give me a love for lost souls, all souls. But if we really wrap our minds around the fact that every one of us here and everyone out there has a created soul that is worth more to God than the whole world, do you really believe that? Won't that affect how you interact with everybody around you? And if a weak Christian, someone who's struggling in this area, comes to you and you don't have that love, you're going to blast them with Bible verses and say, "Fooey on you if you don't listen to this," and that's, you'll leave it at that. You had no previous relationship and you didn't form a good one starting there, I guarantee you. But showing love, being loving their soul, goes a long way into opening the door for truth. Another thing I've found that helps is to, if the topic comes up and they really want to know, is to ask them questions. Here's just an example. You could ask them, "Do you think any behavior is morally appropriate simply because you believe it to have a genetic link? Do you think homosexuality is beneficial for the human race at large?" And it's kind of interesting. It changes the gist of the conversation a bit. Instead of putting them on the defense, it helps them to think, okay, now where am I coming from? And then they're in the position of defending what they're, and instead of you as a Christian being in a position of defense. And it often is, you're able to do it in more of a conversational tone, in a way that they can accept. How do we do compassion? If we know the truth and know how to help others see it, but we don't communicate it in a way that shows we care, we'll botch the whole thing. I think the temptation, again, I want to define a little bit what I've run up against, my own temptation in this area. My human nature wants to do, it wants to make a short-term statement. This is sharing the truth without compassion. It's using a Bible verse, using Bible verses for bullets, and leaves the sinner dying without hope, and comes from a heart of pride and self-righteousness. A long-term difference is the key. And if I'm approaching somebody with the mindset for a long-term difference, it's going to have quantity. It's going to have been previous sacrifices made for the relationship. The person knows I actually care about them. And it's going to come from a heart of love, humility, and it requires a relationship with the individual. And I'll leave you with 1 Corinthians 13:4. "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up."